Still in the book of Acts. It shows 18 through 38. That's actually the entire lesson. We'll be reading verses 27 through 32. Before I get to that, we're talking about creation. How many people got up yesterday morning and saw the lunar eclipse? I did. Set the alarm. I got Roberta up. And I've never seen one in my entire life. And I just happened to see it on the internet, and I thought, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna get up and see what it like. And it was absolutely stunning, stunning. So I mean, it's just surrounded us, the Lord's creation. How simple a thing it is, but how perfect the way the bodies, you know, the Earth and the Moon, everything like that. And go on the internet and look at the pictures, because that's exactly what it looked like. Got up, walked out, and there it was, perfect. So. The book of Acts, we're continuing. If you remember, Paul is in Miletus, and he's called together the leaders of the church of Ephesus, and he's exhorting them in these passages here, verses 27 through 32. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend to you God and to the world of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. May the Lord bless this reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word. We know that there are two things that proclaim your greatness. It is your creation and your holy word. And we thank you that we have your written word for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. And we are continuing in Acts, and while our message today is not necessarily a Christmas message, we will get to that, Lord willing, next week, but we are certainly going to be talking about giving of ourselves this morning. Last week, we ended and we saw Paul making his way back to Jerusalem, visiting churches along the way to encourage them. And this would be really the last segment of his final missionary journey. But because he again wanted to encourage the elders from the church at Ephesus, and his last departure from them was a rather emotional one, he decided, well, I'm going to call for the leadership only, and I'm going to have them meet me in a nearby city. And we find that in verse 17. This is where we ended last week. It says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And again, last week we looked at some of the things, some of the subtle things that Paul did because he cared about the church. Well, this week we're going to see how much he cared. We're going to see how much Paul cared about the church. Because we're going to see him doing some things and explaining some things that weren't all that pleasurable. Some future things we're going to look at that he's going to do that will not be pleasurable, but he did them anyway. Men, how many of you here have attempted to win a stuffed animal, like at a carnival or an amusement park, and you did it for your lady, your girl? Who here did that? All right. Tom, really, you didn't? All right, for those of you that have, and notice I said attempted because I failed miserably. Okay, I don't know how they get those dimes to stay on those glass plates. But anyway, men, those of you that did you do it because you really like stuffed animals? Probably not. Did you do it because stuffed animals are such a great investment. No. Did you do it because the game was just so fun you couldn't stop? Probably not. So why then? Why would we spend that kind of money on something we could probably buy for a fraction of the price elsewhere after all is said and done, right? Why would we spend that kind of time doing something that really wasn't all that pleasurable? Well, because of our girl. We did it because we care. We did it because we love her. And even if it means doing some things that are not all that pleasurable to us. Well, by listening to Paul's farewell address to these Ephesian elders, we're going to learn just how much Paul cared. In fact, we ourselves are going to see the degree to which each of us as believers should care. The degree to which each of us as believers should give of ourselves. And our subject this morning is how much he cared. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 38. And with that, let's jump right in and read verses 18 through 21. It says there, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.'" And from these opening verses here this morning, we learn that Paul cared so much that he gave unashamedly. Paul gave unashamedly. Now, to be unashamed really means that we are not embarrassed at all by our actions or by our words. Okay? We've got nothing to hide. So therefore, we are unashamed. We're not embarrassed. Now, some of you, I've shared this with before. You already know that many years ago, I was involved with a certain business that had gained a reputation for somewhat deceptive and fanatical type practices. If I said the name of the company, most of you would readily identify it, okay? But I was trained that when I did a presentation for this company, that I must spend the majority of my time talking about the benefits, all of the benefits, okay? And then work on showing them the structure, how it all works, and then At the very end, give the name. And if you could cough or mumble it while you said the word, that would be a huge benefit, okay? But I did this, and I was trained to do this because, quite frankly, we were ashamed. We were ashamed of the company. We needed to hide the past reputation of it. And in doing so, we ourselves continued that embarrassing trend. Well, to be unashamed is to not be embarrassed at all about what we say or what we do. And the reason is because we've got nothing to hide. And if we have nothing to hide, there is absolutely no reason to be ashamed. Well, Paul gave of himself unashamedly. All right, that's how he did it. And he did it really in three ways. First of all, he did it in service to the Lord. Now, in our passage, it opens with Paul saying to these elders, he says, you know in what manner I served. You know in what manner I came and was among you. And Paul was He wasn't just making this statement about himself. He was making a statement that was verifiable by these hearers. Okay, this was verifiable. What does unashamed service to the Lord look like? Well, according to verse 19, service to the Lord is done in humility. For one to serve, he must take a subordinate position. Even Jesus said in Matthew 10:24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Paul humbled himself to do whatever the Lord desired him to do. He set his own wants aside, his own desires aside, and he made service to the Lord the priority. Service to the Lord is also enduring. The verse 19 also tells us that he served, he did it with tears and trials. So not only did Paul serve with humility, but even as opposition to his service came, he kept doing what he had been called to do, even though it was painful at times. And really, this is a great lesson for us. Maybe some questions we could ask of ourselves is, are we doing what we are doing for ourselves or for God's glory? Because that will be an indicator of whether we're serving in humility or not, all right? And also with that, how much are we willing to endure as we serve? Paul endured tears, trials. From other passages of Scripture, we know that he endured beatings, stoning, evil plots, riots. What stops us from serving? Service to the Lord is done in humility, it is enduring, and Paul gave unashamedly in his service to God. Paul also gave unashamedly in his teaching of God's people. Verse 20 says he kept nothing back that was helpful. If there was something that someone needed to hear, something that someone needed to know, he told them. He told them. In fact, in 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul told Timothy, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. And I think, by the way, Paul did that both in private and in public, okay? He went from house to house and he did it publicly. But I think sometimes we are afraid of what people are going to think or say or do to us. And sometimes I think instead of convincing, rebuking, and exhorting with all long-suffering and teaching, sadly, much of the church today are absorbing, tolerating, and accepting with all political correctness and conformity. Paul proclaimed the truth of God's word unashamedly, both in public and in private. The last area listed in which Paul gave unashamedly was in preaching Jesus Christ. This really culminates, okay? Let's read verse 21 again. He says, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back in Paul's day, okay, and really probably stands true today as well, but to the Jew, there were only two kinds of people in the world. There were Jews and there were Gentiles, oftentimes referred to as Greeks. So what Paul is saying here is that if they were a person, if they were a person, he preached Christ to them. He shared with them. He told them to repent, which means change your mind. Change your mind about how you think of God. Change your mind about how you think one obtains heaven. Change your mind and instead place your faith in Jesus Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the early verses there, actually gives us the gospel in a very condensed form. Listen to what he says there. He says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel right there. That's the gospel. That's the good news. We are sinners separated from God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The destiny of those sinners is hell. Jesus said in Matthew 25:46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment." But God offers a gift. He offers a gift. Romans 6:23 says, "The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And John 3:15 says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is good news. That is good news. Heaven is a free gift offered by God to all. And through the price paid by his Son on the cross, it is received simply through trusting in Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Therefore, Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." Paul gave unashamedly for the furtherance of the gospel. Have you received it? Have you shared it? The second thing that shows us how much Paul cared is Paul gave unsparingly. Paul gave unsparingly. As a dad, I too have played the game with my children when they were small. I love you this much. Okay, you know that game? And then our little child with their small little arms would try to stretch out farther than dad did and say, "I love you this much." Well, I once saw a t-shirt and it had a picture of Jesus on the front. And he's saying, "I love you this much." And his hands were nailed there. Okay, in fact, in John 15:13, Jesus says, Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus gave himself on the cross to show us how much he cared. He gave everything. He gave unsparingly. Listen to verses 22 through 24. Paul says this. He says, "See now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." While Jesus knew exactly why and when he was going into Jerusalem on his last trip, why he knew exactly why and when he was going to the cross, Paul did not know the exact details of what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. But Paul did know that this is where the Spirit of God wanted him. And he did know that it was not going to be pleasant. Because thus far, really, every place that the Spirit of God has led Paul has led him into some kind of opposition. And Jerusalem was going to be no different. Paul would go away. Paul would go anyway, and he said, "None of these things move me. None of these things move me." Well, what was it then that did move Paul? Well, from our passage here, we learn first that Paul understood that Christians are God's servants. Paul understood that Christians are God's servants. And I love the way that this is worded. He says, I do not count my life dear to myself. Paul gave of himself unsparingly because he understood that his life does not belong to him. In fact, if you want to peek down at verse 28 as well, he says, God purchased us with his blood. We are his possession. And the servant, Paul understood that Christians are God's servants, and the servant understands that he is God's possession. And so Paul was willing to walk even into a hostile environment to share the gospel of Christ, because that is how God wanted to use his possession. I once had a visitor to this church tell me after the service, they said, you know, I really felt left out. They said every conversation that I tried to get involved in, I felt very, very out of place, they said. Because, and here's their reasoning, they said, because everybody here was either talking about God or church. And the only thing that I could think of to say in that moment was, well, you know, you are a church. And really, really, can you think of anything more important to talk about than God and the service that he has called each of us to? I can't think of a better complaint to get, quite frankly. If I'm going to be criticized, I pray that it's because my focus is on God and his use of me. There is nothing more important in the world. Not our family, not our health, not our happiness, not our home, not our job, not our career, not our money, not our time, not our possessions, not our desires, not our goals. While I have to tell you, don't take this the wrong way. I believe God can use us in many of those things, but God's use of us is the most important. My life is not my life. It was given to me by God. I ruined it with sin, and he salvaged it through the death of his son. Paul understood that he was God's servant, period. Nothing was more important. Also, Paul gave unsparingly because Paul understood that Christians are God's stewards. Christians are God's stewards. In what ways are we stewards? Well, we are stewards of God's calling. All right. Paul received this calling from the Lord Jesus, and it was to testify of the gospel of God's grace. Grace, of course, is being rewarded, even though we don't deserve it. And God has done that through salvation, which we have been called to testify of. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is a gift because we can't earn it. Romans 6:23 says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was purchased to share that message. Paul found joy in sharing that message, and Christ has given him and us that calling. We are to be stewards of God's calling. We are to be stewards of God's word. Listen now to verses 25 through 27. He says there, and indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. While Paul was sad that this was going to be the last time that he would see all of these leaders, all of these elders together in one place, he said to them, he says, "I am innocent of the blood of all men." And he's saying that, I think, for two reasons. First of all, he had faithfully fulfilled his calling. He did testify of the gospel of God's grace and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any rejected that salvation, it wasn't because he failed to deliver the message. But also, he says specifically in verse 27 that he declared the whole counsel of God. Paul gave unsparingly. He kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it. From the simplicity of the gospel message to the deepest truths of the nature of God, Paul proclaimed it. He was a steward of God's word. So we are a steward of God's calling, a steward of God's word, and a steward of God's people. Listen to verses 28 through 30 now. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." While this is most definitely, specifically addressed to the church leadership, this is something that can be and should be applied to every single one of us. Paul, being a steward of God's people, exhorted these men now to be stewards as well. Be shepherds, he says. Shepherd, of course, is the one who cares for the sheep. He feeds them. He guides them. He protects them. And we are to do that too. We feed them through the word of God. We guide them by leading through example. And we protect them. Why do we protect them? Well, according to Paul's message here, because danger will come from the world. As the gospel message is preached and the territory of God increases, Satan will retaliate. Paul knew that there would be false teachers from a variety of different religious beliefs and philosophies that would try to deceive the people. He calls them savage wolves because they will not care about the flock. They will not care about the truth. They will not care about eternity. They will look to satisfying themselves. Paul's words echo Jesus' words from Matthew 7:15, where Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They will proclaim love, peace, and harmony, but their end is destruction." Danger will come from the world, but also danger will come from right within the church. Look at verse 30 again. "Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." There is a story told of a group of servicemen. They asked their chaplain one day, they asked him if he believed that there was a real hell for lost sinners. And the chaplain smiled kind of arrogantly and he told them, "No, I don't believe in any such thing." "Well then, you are wasting your time and ours," the men replied. "If there is no hell, we don't need you. And if there is a hell, then you're leading us astray. But either way, we are better off without you." The word perverse in verse 30 means to twist and distort. It is deliberately misinterpreting the Scripture. Paul knew that there would be false teachers that would incorporate the very Word of God, but twist it and distort it in such a way as to change the meaning, maybe ripping it right out of the context. They would add words. They would take words away so to make the Word of God say something that it does not say. Why did Paul give unsparingly? How much did he really care about these things? How much did he really care about the church? Verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul gave of himself unsparingly because he understood that Christians are God's servants. They are God's stewards. And he truly cared about the ministry he'd been called to. Lastly, this morning, unlike those who draw away disciples after themselves, Paul gave unselfishly. Paul gave unselfishly. After the American TV show host Ed McMahon died in 2009, one newspaper headline read this. It said, when it came to being number two, he was number one. Okay, Ed McMahon, of course, was for 30 years the sidekick of Johnny Carson. In fact, the only thing that I think he ever had the spotlight in was Publishers Clearinghouse, okay? But he was a sidekick, and he was content being there. And where most entertainers strive for that top billing, McMahon was content with a supporting role. And that is really the role that all of us as believers have been called to. We are to point to the Lord. Point to the Lord. Listen to verses 32 through 35. He says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul gave unselfishly. He did it to be an example, again, of stewardship toward God. Paul preached the gospel, he proclaimed God's word. Now I commend you to God to preach the word of his grace. Okay? Paul is basically praying to God that these men would grow into great stewards of the word and of grace. You have been sanctified by the blood of Christ. Now grow in that inheritance. Become the person, become the man that God has called you to be. Paul gave unselfishly to be an example of stewardship, also to be an example of a servant. He says, I came to build you up, not burden you. I came to serve, not be served. Here again, echoing Jesus from Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Paul gave of his life unselfishly to be a steward, to be a servant, and again, here it all culminates, to be an example of the Savior. To be an example of the Savior. Ministry is about giving of ourself. That is why Paul gave unselfishly, unashamedly, and unsparingly. These words of Jesus that we find at the end of verse 35, by the way, are not recorded in the Gospels. In fact, this is the only quote from Jesus taken from his earthly ministry that is not in the Gospels, which tells us two things. It tells us, first of all, the sufficiency of the accounts that we do have in the Gospels. But secondly, it also tells us the importance of these words, that they're right here. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul gave unselfishly because Jesus did. There is a movie from a few years back where the viewer is taken into the world of the United States Coast Guard rescue swimmers. And to be on this team involves 18 weeks of very intense training. And it prepares these many men and women for the task of jumping from helicopters into large bodies of water, oftentimes the ocean. And the dangers are incredible. I mean, they face not only hypothermia from ocean waters, but drowning, of course. And we might ask, why would a person risk their lives like that? I think it's all summed up in their four-word motto. Their four-word motto is, so others may live. So others may live. They do what they do because they care. Now, we have seen Paul speak a lot about himself. It was Paul himself that spoke of how unashamed he was. It was Paul himself that said, I held back nothing. I gave it all. It was Paul himself that said I wasn't selfish. So a question we might ask is, was Paul boasting? Was he boasting? Was he stretching the truth? Is this really what happened? Well, let's find out how the people reacted to what he said. Look at verses 36 through 38. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. That's not really what happened. It wasn't, that's not how you acted. It wasn't, good riddance to you, okay? They were sad to see him go because they knew he truly cared. Now, there's a popular saying today, and I think it's very fitting right here. People won't care how much we know until they know how much we care, right? That is so true. These elders listened because they knew how much Paul cared. His life demonstrated it. And Paul could only say what he said because of how much he cared. And now by listening to this farewell address this morning, I pray that we have learned really the degree to which we should give of ourselves. Unashamedly, unsparingly, and unselfishly. And really the impact that we have in this world will be in direct proportion to our degree of devotion in being used of God. So now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are being sanctified. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, once again, just thank you for this address and, Lord, allowing us to see the heart of Paul, that it so mirrored his Savior. And, Lord, I pray that these are words that we might be able to speak someday. It's in Jesus' name I pray.